This is The Rounds Table.
Hello, Rounds Table listeners. Welcome back to another episode. This is your host today. My name is Paxton Bach, and I'm a general internist in Vancouver. We have a new guest to the show today. I'm pleased to welcome here Dr. Kate Kalitza, who's a general internist, practices in Calgary. Welcome, Kate.
Hello. Thanks for having me. I've been a fan of the podcast for a couple of years now, so it's exciting to be a guest and be part of it.
Awesome. I'm very happy to have you on the show today, and we have a bit of a special episode today. I've alluded to this in past episodes, but I do practice general internal medicine. I also have training and practice addiction medicine as a part of my work, and Kate, you and I both did our addiction training together.
We did, in Vancouver.
So we are happy to bring a theme to the episode today, and we're going to talk about a couple addiction-related papers that I think are really relevant to the general internist and the general practitioner in general. So without further ado, we'll dive right into it. And Kate, tell us what paper you brought to the table today.
Okay, so the paper that I wanted to discuss today was published in the New England Journal of Medicine on January 30th, so hot off the press. And it is a randomized trial of e-cigarettes versus nicotine replacement therapy, published by Peter Hajek and colleagues.
So this is a very hot topic these days. We're hearing a lot about e-cigarettes in the news, maybe not quite in this context. So tell us, what is the bottom line to this article?
So in this randomized trial of smokers who were interested in quitting, the use of e-cigarettes significantly increased one-year abstinence rates compared to those who were using traditional nicotine replacement therapy. So the rates of cessation amongst individuals using e-cigarettes was 18% compared to 9.9% in those using NRT.
So that's a pretty dramatic reduction and pretty impressive. This is new. This goes against some previous literature. So tell us, Kate, a little bit why you decided that this is something that was important for us to talk about today.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So prior studies looking at e-cigarettes were not particularly encouraging and didn't, on the whole, demonstrate a significant benefit. But as you've mentioned, as addiction medicine physicians and general internists, I tend to gravitate towards research and publications that are related to substance use disorders and the treatment of people who use drugs. And nicotine, as we know, is a highly addictive substance. Furthermore, nicotine addiction is, I think, often overlooked when we're making our issues lists and assessing patients, but it really represents a huge root cause for all of the conditions that we treat in GIM. So everything from COPD to malignancies, ischemic heart disease, at the core of all of those is often cigarette smoking. And a recent study that was just published in 2017 by the Conference Board of Canada found that, based on their estimations, 1 in 5 of all deaths in the country were related to cigarettes. So e-cigarettes have generally been viewed as being safer than cigarettes because they contain fewer chemicals. But as I mentioned, there have been few really well-designed studies to examine their role in smoking cessation specifically.
That is such a good setup. I totally agree with you. We really skate by this a lot on the ward. We talk about it briefly. We may suggest that somebody stop smoking, but in fact, in terms of actually delivering evidence-based care and medicine and treatments to patients in the ward, I can count on the fingers of one hand the time that I think that came up during my residency training. So I think that that really sets up this trial nicely as to why it's important. Let's get into the details then. Tell us a bit more specifically about what was the design of this study and where it took place. Where did it happen?
Sure. So the design of the study, this was a two-group, pragmatic, multi-center, individually randomized controlled trial. And it took place across 3 stop smoking services in the UK between May of 2015 and February of 2018.
Okay, so a pragmatic trial. I feel like we're seeing a lot more of these days.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll kind of go into what made this trial pragmatic, but I think it really adds a lot to how we can interpret and maybe incorporate some of the findings of this study.
Yeah, I quite like reading them. So tell us then about specifically the patients that they enrolled. Who were they studying?
So they enrolled 886 adults, all of whom were interested in quitting smoking, which is important, and all of whom expressed no strong preference for either NRT or e-cigarettes. All of these individuals could not have currently been using either NRT or e-cigarettes, and the only other exclusion criteria was that they were not pregnant or breastfeeding. On average, participants were 41 years of age, and the split between male and female was roughly equal. They were smoking, on average, 15 cigarettes per day. Interestingly, nearly 3/4 had already tried NRT, and around 40% of participants had actually tried e-cigarettes at some point in the past. But overall, both groups were quite similar.
Okay, so a group of people who were really actively looking to seek cessation, and it looks like a lot of them had tried in the past, presumably.
That's right.
Great. Okay. And what was specifically the intervention that they were comparing here?
Mm-hmm. So this is kind of where some of the pragmatism of the trial comes in. So participants were assigned to receive either nicotine replacement products of their choice, which included combinations, switches. They could really use whatever NRT option appealed to them most. And they were actually encouraged to combine options, which is often what we'll do practically. So they could use patches, gums, lozenges, sprays, inhalers, kind of whatever they wanted for up to 3 months. Or in the e-cigarette group, they were provided with an e-cigarette starter pack, which included the actual refillable device, as well as one bottle of nicotine liquid. And the concentration was kind of a moderate to high nicotine concentration at 18 micrograms per mil.
So that's interesting because, as you pointed out, this is sort of unusual. They were actually encouraged to try different types of liquids and even consider purchasing a different form of e-cigarette if needed, weren't they?
Yeah, so they were really provided with that freedom to try different types of products within both groups. And the only requirement was that they signed a commitment not to use the other intervention for the first 4 weeks. Following that, they were allowed to cross over, try different things, you know, similarly to what a patient would do in the real world.
Perfect. So again, that pragmatic aspect to the trial.
Yeah. They were randomized at their quit date, which is also important. So they were able to randomize everyone who moved forward from that point and actually utilized one of the interventions. And within the first 4 weeks of the trial, participants received, in addition to either pharmacologic intervention, weekly one-on-one behavioral support, as well as carbon monoxide monitoring. They didn't really describe in a lot of detail in the paper what that behavioral support involved, but it sounded as though it was fairly standardized across sites and between groups.
Okay, perfect. So that sounds like a pretty reasonable design. And how were they monitoring the patients then, and what were the primary outcomes that they were looking for?
So they were monitoring the patients quite closely in the initial 4 to 6 weeks, and then had a few touch points over the rest of the trial, which lasted 52 weeks. The primary outcome was 1 year sustained abstinence, and that was defined as no more than 5 cigarettes after 2 weeks from their quit date, as well as an expired carbon monoxide level of less than 8 parts per million at the end of the trial.
Okay, so that's pretty important, and this is primarily a self-reported outcome then.
Yeah, so although they included carbon monoxide measuring when possible, it's really only a reflection of cigarette use in the very recent past.
Okay, and any worthwhile secondary outcomes that you wanted to point out?
Yeah, I think so. So they included secondary outcomes of abstinence at other time points. They also looked at reduced rates of smoking by 50% or more, as well as prior 7-day abstinence and relapse. But I think the reduction in smoking is an important outcome. Furthermore,